This is A Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're also broadcasting online on kpppfm.com. All you got to do is go click on the Listen Live link and join in to our programming here in the Fargo-Moorhead metro area.
Mm-hmm.
You can also contact us and send us your tips, information, show ideas, and messages. How can folks get a hold of us?
Well, many ways. One way is to look right at your screen, our message line, where you can leave a message up to 3 minutes. It's 701-566-0917. Again, it's a message line. 701-566-0917. Some other ways, if that's not your bag, basically, you can do email. You can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke, at kpppfm.com. You can also go to Facebook, 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead. And if you go to that Facebook page, a lot of people do send us messages through Facebook, and that's a great way of doing it. You can also go to the People's Press Project or Mexi-Can. You can also follow Cindy's public page on Facebook by searching at Cindy Gomez-Shemp. And again, don't forget to go to kpppfm.com and listen to our podcast. I know the past couple of shows haven't been put up there. I didn't get them up this weekend, but I'll get them placed on the website at kpppfm.com in the next day or so.
Yes. Also, I wanted to remind folks that there's a variety of ways of sending us information. One of the ways in which many of you send us information is through our messages on Facebook on our 88.1 page or to my fan page or what, you know. But here's the thing. When you send me a link to a post or a video, it may expire and or not be available to me for a variety of reasons. So the best way to actually send me a link to a video or a post is to go to the link yourself, take a screenshot, and then download that and send me the screenshot. Or if it's a video, download the video and send me the video. And there's a couple of different things that you can use on Facebook to download videos online, right?
Well, it's not really on Facebook, but you can go get downloaders that are online and it'll download Facebook videos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way of doing it. Sometimes they're too big to email. We use Dropbox. So you can get a free Dropbox account, and then it can hold up to a certain amount of megabytes of information. But if you download the video by going to like facebookdown.net, you'll download the video to your computer, then you would stick it in your Dropbox and send us a link. You know, it's a little complicated, but it's not really once you figure these things out. That way you actually have the video downloaded because, like Cindy said,
they disappear.
People delete them. Also, sometimes we can't actually get to the link because it's on a page where perhaps I've been blocked and I can't see it. So, you know, I can't even look at the video. So
or they set the video to private
Well, if they set it to private and we can still see it, there's another way to download that. It gets a little more complex. But if people run into that, they have a private video and the video's there, I could send you an email and try to walk you through it.
Maybe one day you'll have to do a tutorial for people and and tell people how to download videos how to do screenshots.
That's right. I've seen people do that. I've seen people do that on Facebook, and they do a little tutorial on how to download and save videos. There's a way to do it in Facebook, like you said. I don't actually use that way. I use a off-site program just to get it off of there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that sort of stuff can be helpful. So maybe sometime I'll do that. You know, if people want to keep on doing that and downloading videos, I'd love to be able to help out.
Yeah, because then people can send us more information, which we always love to get from all of you. So that's just one little thing I wanted to ask folks to try and do a little bit differently so that I can get all of this stuff. Because a lot of times I'll go back and something is, I don't know if it's expired or if it's just not available for me to see.
Yeah, it just says the link doesn't work.
But people do take things down a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes almost right after they put them up.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, and that's why it's important to screenshot and download.
Yep.
Anyway, also I want to remind everyone to continue to help us get justice for Kathleen Bennett and to reunite her with her family by helping to donate to her legal defense fund. And what we've been doing is we've been doing necklace raffles. We had these beautiful eagle feather necklaces donated mm-hmm. by one of our viewers, Cheyenne Running Wolf. And we've been raffling them off. We are at number 5.
Yep, raffle number 5 starting tonight. We're drawing from raffle number 4.
Right. This is the gold tone eagle feather necklace for raffle number 5.
Oh, number 4.
No.
Number five, excuse me.
5. The next one. The next one is 5, right. And that's what I'm wearing tonight. Last time I wore the silver one, which is what we will be drawing for tonight. So let's get to the drawing right now. All right. Give me a drum roll, please. I'll stir these up. And the winner is... Anita Korzik. Anita, you won. Anita Korzik. Thank you so much for your donations and for your support. Please keep it coming. Here, I'll give you the winning slip. Duke always puts the winning slip in with the necklaces when he sends them.
Yes. Right? Well, I just started that today.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Who's the winner again, Duke?
The winner is Anita
Korzik. Korzik. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Anita Korzik.
Anita
Korzik.
Congratulations, Anita.
Yes. Now, you know, we have another raffle. You know, if you go, it's raffle number 5.
For a gold tone necklace.
You just go to kpppfm.com and you click /raffle. kpppfm.com/raffle. And then click on that post and you'll get this page, Raffle Entry for Kathleen Bennett Legal Defense Fund. It's $10. When you click on the link, it'll take you to a PayPal site that you can pay with PayPal or a credit card. It'll limit you to a $10 raffle ticket purchase, and you'll be entered in the next raffle. That will be we'll be drawing that raffle on Wednesday, July 12th, on Wednesday. So, you know, we really appreciate all the support and all the purchases. I'm sorry that some of you people haven't won. There's only one winner per raffle.
That's the way, but that's the great thing. We still have over 15 more necklaces.
Yep,
we have 15 more necklaces
too.
So you still have plenty of chances.
So it's a way to donate, and then you
and
get
$10
something.
Is simple. I mean,
and you get something back from your donation. If you win, you get it back. You know,
definitely.
And tell you
more than that.
I'm going to be arm deep in my receipt writing because those of you who didn't win. We'll get
tax deductible
donation receipt
mm-hmm.
because it's going to a nonprofit. You can use that in your taxes because you didn't receive anything of value.
You just
for a
gave
purchase.
A donation.
You gave a donation. The people who actually got a necklace, basically, it's not a tax deductible donation because you got something of value
mm-hmm.
worth more than $10. So
right.
Can't give you one, but the rest of you who made those donations, you've made those as charitable donations, and thank you very much for that.
So see, you do get something after all, a receipt.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you can write it off at the end of the year
exactly.
on your taxes.
Exactly.
It's not a bad deal.
Yep.
And it all 100% goes to her defense fund. I'm speaking of Kathleen Bennett. And I wish I could get to all of the things I wanted to talk to you about tonight, but that's not going to happen. So I'm going to start with some text messages that I've been wanting to show you for a really long time.
Yeah.
Every show we did on Vets Respond and Beyond, Veterans Stand, Respond and Beyond,
mm-hmm.
I forgot to send you these messages so I could show everybody. And this happened right after I had my interview with Sedef and Chris. So here is what we discussed. And this is after the conversation in which she said she did not want to publicly denounce L'Oreal Blackshaw. And I sent her a picture, a screenshot of L'Oreal Blackshaw's page on which she was requesting donations for rooms at the casino. And she was doing that before as a Veterans Stand agent. If you'll scroll up there, you can see she says, please contribute. I already did. And then she says, also attached is a credit card authorization to print out and email directly to the emails provided. PKC is strict on security, so they will not share your information with anyone. Trust me, yeah. I'm L'Oreal Blackshaw.
Yeah, exactly.
I have done no criming today. Mm-hmm. This will make it easier to pay for a room.
Yeah, right.
Hey, people, send me your credit card information.
Mm-hmm.
We promise you it'll be totally secure.
Yeah, not so much.
And I pointed this out to her, like, so you're okay with this person who was your national spokesperson still scamming people. And then this was the response. I said, she's asking for credit card numbers. And Sadef said, I just posted a warning on all our channels. Yes, some people's hunger will never be filled, she says. Wow. See, she can tell that this person is greedy and out mm-hmm. of control. And yet, this is the first time that, and I feel like I compelled her because, you know, when I was on the phone call with her, you heard her say she didn't really want to draw attention to Bill Renning Fisher or L'Oreal Blackshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and I said, isn't that true? Glad you're watching out.
Yeah.
And she said, thanks for sharing with me. And I said, your post warning people must have had an effect. L'Oreal says her account was hacked.
Yeah.
She is once again announcing the closure of her Facebook account forever. And this is the post. She says, so my account's been hacked and someone is using it for illegal activity. This is L'Oreal Blackshaw. Oh no. Because of this, I will be permanently deleting my account. This is the only post I will make for the next 24 hours. So if you are seeing any others or receiving any messages from this account, please immediately delete. If there is anyone who will want to get a hold of me later, then please inbox me and I will let you know how to contact me. This message will be posted for the next 24 hours and then this Facebook profile
will disappear.
Next.
Right.
Can you scroll all the way down? Will be deleted. Will be removed and permanently deleted. Oh, well, maybe this is a sign for me to remove myself from the social media world while I focus on my personal life.
Yeah.
Good thinking. Next. Yeah. And I said, Sadef says, thank goodness for small blessings, still on alert. And then she says, by the way, I just heard my research team that they actually reported her to Facebook and they took her page down for illegal activity.
Oh.
So L'Oreal was lying, I guess. Do a search for L'Oreal B. Shawl in Facebook. She's back. So look how the very next day after I did this interview with her, L'Oreal deletes her account, then mm-hmm. L'Oreal starts another account,
yep.
And Sadef notices it and says, she's back. And I'm like, you're kidding. And she's like, sadly, no. I said, well, let me tell you, the threats are flying today. Mulaney has called several people threatening to sue. Bill Renning Fisher also texted he wants to sue. There was also a message to sent to our social media page from a random person asking who owns us.
Yeah.
And then, is that the last one?
Nope, one more.
And she goes, let's hope this is their swan song, last-ditch attempt to scare people.
It sure
feels like it. Acts of desperation. Sadef, Russell, the grandson of the elder we spoke of, would like to speak to you. What number can I give him to contact you? You are welcome to give him this number. Thank you. Much appreciated, I said. And then I asked, would you be able to connect me with that ACLU lawyer you mentioned for Kathleen today? The day of the custody hearing, Sonny's car mysteriously broke down, and then Highway Patrol came and took him for questioning. So that's all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let me just say, I think this shows you that the Veterans Stand Respond people should have taken responsibility earlier on for what the actions were of their veterans out there, including the Michael Marcus shenanigans out there. Because a lot of these vets were then arrested or involved in these activities. If you'll recall, it was Michael Marcus pulling that truck off of the bridge that initiated all of the shooting and water cannoning that took place on November 20th. I mean, that's what really started the whole thing. That's what began that night of horrors for everybody. So we're going to go to the roof on fire pictures. And here's the first one. I wanted you to see some of the comments. The next one. And then it says number two. Oops. Roof is on fire.
Yep. I got
number two. There you go. Too many people want to tell you what to do. Mater, stop it now and delete it, says this Laura Reidenauer. And Amy Alien says, enjoy the fun, delete the evidence, stay safe. And look at what Coulter Hoyt says all the way at the bottom. Thank you for sharing. OP Black is now closed. OP Black. That is what that building that was burned was called, OP Black.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. They have to clean up, they have to clean camp, and this building was not reusable. What?
Yeah.
Right. What are they burning down? A building.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we can hear them talking. Fire is beautiful.
Yeah, right.
Good job, brother. We didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. No, we didn't light it. Oh, that's the song, right? Number four. Okay. Somebody says, Sherry says, it's treated wood and a lot of chemicals. These people are breathing. Yep. And then someone else says, LaDonna Allard says, oh, whatever. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Next. Here is another one. Somebody says, thanks, Rattler. And then someone else says, Tarina Olson says, he said he consulted elders. No, yeah. This was not authorized by any elders. Jacob Pogue, it was always burning since the world's been turning. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Stop it. And William McMaster says, not a good way to promote Ochetti Sakoan Camp. Yeah, I agree with that. Next. Info about the protests was on the wall, says Andrea Bertram.
Yeah.
So there's other ways of removing stuff from walls besides burning a building down in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Lol Ye Cox says, take this video down for the sake of the cause. And Heather Templeton says, they had to burn it down because it was secret intel. It's controlled and approved and keeping all warm.
Yeah, right.
Stamp of approval. And then Ed Higgins, there's Ed Higgins, and he says, yes, there was a ton of information on those walls. I get it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. He was promoting these building burnings.
Mm-hmm.
The next, controlled burn, D. Rager Mason says, no, they don't happen in the middle of the night. What in the hell is LaDonna laughing at? Lol. Jessica Caitlin. Oh, there's another one. We didn't start the fire.
Oh, yeah.
Stephanie Hall Hotchkiss. It doesn't matter what they do. Someone is going to find something to complain about. It's a burning building. Denise asks, what the hell? Is everyone okay?
Yeah.
Next. Is that it?
Nope, one more.
Flacco Ross says, can you be nice enough to explain? Val says, oh my God. And Laura says, someone take them s'mores stuff. This isn't fun and games. This is a burning building at a time when people were afraid of their the camp being raided. Lizette Apperly says, confused, weren't these materials donated? Can someone please explain why they are burning this? Can't this be seen as a provocation? Just curious. Yeah, I had all the same questions as you. I was like, what the hell are these people doing?
Exactly.
Why would they put people in danger? It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they wanted to get people arrested. They wanted to get people hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And speaking of people who got charged for committing crimes out at camp, Myron Dewey's charges appear to have been dropped recently, just days before he's supposed to have a he was supposed to have a hearing, right?
Supposed to have a trial on this Wednesday, the 12th.
Mm-hmm. I noticed there's been a lot of people out in the Bismarck area. I suppose they were waiting.
Yep.
Convening. But you know what I thought was weird? When you told me about his charges and what the fine was, and when you looked at the docket and looked at all of the motions and requests for dismissal of the case and all these different motions that were made, like, over and over and over. Because I, as a paralegal, I can tell you every single one of those things costs money.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned that it was really odd to you that they would spend so much time and effort and money on a case that only has a, what was it? How much do you fine?
It was a $3,000 fine and or a year in jail. You know, was what the penalties were. It was for a stalking charge. And in the information you can get online, when you look at people's cases, there was multiple motions of dismissals, change of venue, suppression of evidence, all back and forth for months.
Several times.
Months. We're talking like maybe five times dismiss the case. And again, you know, we've been talking about how quickly cases get dismissed. They usually wait till they go to trial.
Yeah.
And here is the week of trial, you know, right up to 2 days before the week the trial is going to begin. And we heard it was dismissed. You heard that. I actually haven't read that anywhere. But
I saw it online. It may not be true, but I saw that it was reported that the charges were dismissed. And it's not surprising to me that they would wait till the last minute, because that's how they do.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't beat you in the courtroom, they will bleed you dry.
Definitely.
So I wanted to show you how recently Myron Dewey talked about Kathleen Bennett. And here's his response to our story about Kathleen Bennett, which we sent to him, asking him to help spread the word, do what you can to help free Kathleen Bennett. And he said, I agree, all charges dropped. And it was incredible because he had not wanted to associate with the Kathleen Bennett case at all. And I really couldn't figure out why. Why? I mean, I know that he was interviewing Mulaney at the closures of the camp. I know that he's associating with Ed Higgins and all those people over there at Activate Now who are closely tied to Mulaney, to the people that gave false statements, to the crew of people, all of whom worked in tandem to criminalize an innocent Oglala Lakota elder and her family. But then I found this video. This is Mulaney reporting for Digital Smoke Signals. Guys, this is a video from back in the summertime. I think it was like probably in October.
No, it's summer, fall.
Summer, fall. Yeah, and this is like October or, you know, September. This is a video.
You're getting live video feed, relatives.
Are in the back. There's about 75 of them right there, coming behind that hill. They're coming. Yeah, go up and block in. They're coming behind that. About 75 of them with a sniper. That was about 400 feet right there. It's the second drone they shot down, but this time they shot it with straight direct line of sight with a sniper.
Oh my, that's what my husband was saying when he said he heard shots.
Yeah.
Earlier.
They're shooting. Oh. We're keeping live, and they're coming over on the far side.
Okay.
And it's no longer a sneak attack. They stole somebody with quads on the far side. Those Raptors, those Razors. They went in and stole, kidnapped them, like right there. They're running back to the line, and they They snatched them up.
One of them drive away.
No. Yeah. Oh, that's not, that's the wrong one. It's so relatives, they're continuing to witnessing them right now. We're just trying to keep a line of sight on them right now. So the prayer is continuing to go on. The prayer is still continuing to go on right now as the teepees are still continue to be set up. We got the teepees continuing to be set up as we speak. So there's 75. Yeah, this is live.
We're asking all you relatives out there to send some prayers out for our water protectors. Things are starting to increasingly get very militarized. They've shot down a drone. We heard a couple shots earlier when we first took over the across the road here. You are now looking at military. You're now looking over here. The land takeover on this side. Treaty land. That's all treaty land. Up above there, we have 75 units, police units on the other side. We're asking for all your prayers. We're sending a message out. Already prayers have been made. Things are going to get pretty serious here in a matter of time. We have people ready to die today for the water. Some of our water protectors there. My kids. We're asking for your prayers. The highway is going to be shut down all the way 1806 going north. All the way 1806 going south is all going to be shut down, which means that we are going to occupy the treaty land. Going to continue to occupy all that's that you see in front of us here. We're trying to show as much as possible so that we're able to.
So we're gonna stay live. So just we're on right now, and just keep it on them.
Can I
have you hold this real quick? Just hold it right on them. Yep.
Yeah, Aaron Mullane is how you hold a camera. Mullane Stoneman reporting for Digital Smoke Signals.
Oh my God! And she's like, up there. She's panning all the way around. Oh yeah. My God!
Yeah.
Did you see the kids?
Yep.
Did you see her daughter, Lacey Jean? Did you see her? Part of the security team. So she says, "My kids."
Yep.
In that video, you heard her say that she's talking about her kids, and she's talking about her husband. She says when she's talking to Myron at the beginning, Myron tells her about the drones being shot down and that he's filming the cops on the hill up there. And she goes, "Oh my, that's what my husband was saying."
Mm-hmm.
Heard shots earlier. Holy shiz.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep. I have to go edit that for
I know
radio.
You're going to have to edit that out because of Mulaney's dirty
twice,
mouth.
Mulaney swore twice in the
She swore once and then he did.
I see.
And then he said the same word.
I see.
So hers is earlier than his. But yeah. So, Myron's known Mulaney for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he trusts her with his camera. Did you notice there were... Well, you should go see that video. The link is available along with this show. And I'll put it in the comments right now so y'all have that. But I'm going to tell you that I'm going to keep unpinning that because it annoys me. There is the full YouTube video. I clipped the parts where Mulaney is on and took out the rest, basically. But you can go and watch for yourself. There's obviously a lot of connections between all of these folks, which is why it is so ironic to me that they are so upset now. All these people are saying, why are they mad at us because we didn't talk about this? Because you knew all of the people that were involved in committing this crime against the family. You seem to be close friends with them. You seem to be in all these activities together. And yet none of you talked about this most egregious of cases that came out of camp.
Mm-hmm.
So let me now go and show you who else is hanging out with Mulaney Stoneman. This is a picture that was posted by Angela Bibbins of the Water Protector Legal Collective, which I will be bringing you more information about in the near future. Not on today's show, but I will in the future. And next to her is Faith Spotted Eagle. And next to her is a woman I don't know. And next to that woman in the middle of the picture in the green ribbon skirt with the white and yellow trim in the gray hoodie sweater with her eyes closed and her glasses on is Mulaney Stoneman. Antonio Fisher.
And multiple other names.
So, again, just finding it really, really interesting because we went to the Water Protector Legal Collective early on and said, this woman needs help. And they're like, nope. Went to Chase Iron Eyes and said, this woman needs help. They said, nope. All of these people said, no, we don't want to help. Oh, by the way, when Ed was in Hawaii with Mulaney and LaDonna and all of these other people that were involved in this case, guess what? He posted and removed this post in which he says, I wasn't even in the event for 10 minutes and already Mulaney Stoneman is playing games and has me threatened. I came for peace and to learn. I'm done.
Done. He's done.
Stick a fork in him.
Yeah, really.
he did look like he'd been like, you know, roasted, toasted, boiled, something. But moving on to our veterans, the connection with our veterans respond beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a picture of some of the vets all the way at the end when they were guarding Grandma Regina. According to the police reports, Mulaney Stoneman, multiple posts and comments from Dave Archambault and others around him, all women, children, and elders were supposed to be out of the camp on December 6th. It's one of the reasons that they claim they had to evacuate Mary. Why was Regina still there?
Yeah.
Why were so many other elders still there? Even older than Mary Trujillo. Why weren't they all arrested? Why do they have guards?
Yeah.
Why didn't anyone protect? Why did all these security people and veterans condemn two Oglala Lakota women, but they protect this one? Hypocritical?
Yeah.
I think so. Okay, here's the next one.
Here's the post with the goes with that one.
This was posted on February 23rd, and it says, from the Veterans Respond Group, these three veterans committed to be Grandma Regina's personal guard during the occupation. On the morning of February 23rd, 2017, these vets presented Regina with a Navy flag for her services in the U.S. Navy. It was a very inspiring and emotional moment. Photo, Nate Pericini. With Evan Duke III.
Oh, yeah.
That's Ed Higgins.
Mm-hmm. Bud.
Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Michael Sullivan.
Yes.
Next, we have another picture from that same tent. There's Grandma Regina right behind the big blue flag. And here is another picture. Oh, this is the post that goes along with it that was posted on February 23rd from Veterans Respond. And it says, here is a portrait of the last remaining veterans at Ocheti Sakowin Camp taken moments before DAPL forces raid the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And after this, here are some more pictures that were posted by Veterans Respond groups, including this one of Chase Iron Eyes, the guy I was just talking about,
mm-hmm.
who denied help and supported the kidnapper, Melanie Stoneman. LaDonna is next to him and lots of other people surrounding them. And then it says, photos from today's meeting on the bridge from Veterans Respond, February 16th. Next, we have a picture of Aubrey Peckham of Activate Now. And there's LaDonna. And oh, look, there's Ed Higgins of mm-hmm. Activate Now. Are you guys seeing the pattern?
Yep.
A lot of these fake news networks and indigenous news networks that were created out of thin air. What are their credentials to do these things? Having a phone and the ability to live stream does not make you a journalist. You can become a community journalist with these social media tools.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really legitimate media platforms, especially given the fact that they most of them were expressly created for the Standing Rock movement.
Yeah.
They were birthed there. And the people in them don't have any experience in journalism or any of the credentials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, I don't understand how people don't see how they're just kind of shells propping each other up. This one repeats what this one reported, and then these other people, and they create these echo chambers amongst themselves. So it looks like they have a lot more attention on their spin of a story than they really do. But that can be very damaging, especially in the way that all of these so-called fake news networks that mm-hmm. were reporting all the things about Standing Rock failed to mention one of the greatest stories, one of the most heinous alleged crimes to come out of the camp. None of y'all talked about Kathleen Bennett. The Bismarck Tribune National News talked about it. It was shown mm-hmm. all over the country, but none of the media people at Ocheti, yeah. at Standing Rock ever heard about this? Uh-huh. But Tiger Swan's Netizens for Progress did.
Oh, yeah.
And Rob Port.
Mm-hmm.
They heard. The only people that didn't hear were the people that were doing indigenous media, and that would have likely focused on defending a woman water protector and her elder mother. But somehow, no.
Nope.
They didn't give a rip. Not about these two people. Mm-hmm. They're like, whatever. Let them die in a hospital.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I noticed that, guys. I noticed it. And then I want you to look at these posts. This is a picture with a post. Now, these were on Bill Running Fisher's pages. If you recall, this woman with the gun was in the page, the pictures that we've shown you over and over again of Bill Running mm-hmm. Fisher with those two women with guns behind him. And, you know, here they are wearing some kind of, looks like a uniform of some sort, mm-hmm. police uniform or something. It looks like it has a star on the cap. So maybe some type of sheriff's type style uniform. Then there's jewelry. There's a picture of what looks like coffee. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And then the post says, the end of our photo shoot. So it was indeed a photo shoot. And she says, this is Rose Morgan on November 9th of 2014. I don't see how officers can wear all that tactical gear because it is heavy. We didn't even have it full of gear. This family sells tactical gear. She's talking about Bill Running Fisher and his family. Native American t-shirts, Native American jewelry, as well as homemade salsa.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! I will be showing my support to them and ask you to do as well. Thanks, Bill Running Fisher with Eagle Child Consulting and Enforcement Services and Josephine Morales. So that is somebody that was helping to support him.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the next one. These are some comments that she made. She says, on that same thread, thanks, Dorothy. Yes, Bill Running Fisher sells it. He has some very nice jewelry. His family sells very nice. And then she says, guns, vests, holsters, handcuffs. Yeah, I know you like those. Ha ha. Pepper spray. He sells it all. So that's what they were selling, military style gear.
Mm-hmm.
To people that are supposed to be unarmed and peaceful.
Yeah.
At a camp. Very strange. And Michael Wood Jr., when he was shown those invoices on Twitter, said, that is not what the veterans of Standing Rock would condone. Well, you were paying the dude.
Yeah.
He was paying him. So, here are some texts that talk about Bon. Nope. Oh, wait. Yes, you're right. You're right, and I'm wrong.
I'm sorry.
No, you're correct. I'm the one that's sorry. These are some messages of Bill Running Fisher's. So it says, Tiger Swan and other mercenaries like Black Rock were hired by North Dakota as they have the legal jurisdiction to bring them in. They paid off several of the leaders of the Ocheti. J.R. American Horse was one. He received over $50,000 to get direct actions going. Because in order to justify mercenaries, you have to have an enemy. And if everyone is being nonviolent and no direct actions, there is no need for mercenaries. Remember, it's always about money. And war, whether foreign or domestic, is a moneymaker. And Phyllis is another one who was bought and paid for by Energy Transfer Partners and subsidiaries. She, at our last look, received $300,000. Standing Rock was going to bring us in to counteract Tiger Swan, but Phyllis and Faith organized opposition to it, as we were not paying them for business. Mike Wood used Kathleen's deal as a means to steal from us, using L'Oreal's retarded ass to do it. And what better way to do it than dump all of this outrage and make us the scapegoats and steal our property at the same time. There is a reason he's not a police officer no more, as he is always caught up defrauding people. And ask him about check number 762 on his personal bank account, written to us December 7th, 2016, for over $15,000. Funny, before he made millions on his Vet Stand for Standing Rock website, which is, by the way, still taking in money, he lived in Pennsylvania. Then, once he made the money, he split from Wes Clark Jr. and took off with the money to L.A. Controversy follows him and his toadies everywhere. And again, he ain't doing this for a love or concern of the people. He does this to feed his ego and make lots and lots of money off people. Says, I would settle for making him tell the truth for once. If the cause cannot stand truth in the light of day, we shouldn't be doing it, you know? I would love to see how much his board of directors is getting paid, as well as himself, and how much he is taking in. Don't forget, he still has a bank account in Pennsylvania. And then here he's talking about people at camp. He said, we got them and interrogated them and their phones. Show who was egging them on. No, not Tiger Swan. They ain't that stupid. These are supporters of Kathleen, misled to try and attack me and my family. My mom is protected by my nation, as we have shoot-to-kill orders now on anyone caught approaching the family compound. We have two tribal police officers assigned at all times, as well as a squad from our company. Tiger Swan and other mercenary companies don't do business that way because of the legal lethal repercussions. Vaughn got arrested because L'Oreal and Mike Woods had him driving around in a vehicle that had not been paid for by Mike Woods. There's that stealing people's property again. Mm-hmm. And was reported stolen. And then L'Oreal and Phyllis had him listed as head of Ochetti Security. So that made him a target of the pale face. And then he's talking about Tiger Swan and mercenaries. They switch out their operations on 3-month rotations. And the first thing we'll do is try to get close to those at the top by being the loudest and most vocal supporter of whatever the cause is. Second, they will be very well armed and have access to weapons at all times. Now he's talking about Chase. Chase is another one who made $2.2 million off of Standing Rock and came up. It's all about money and propaganda with them. The cause does not matter. And then he says, yes, last we looked, only it's vetsstand.org now. I mean, I personally love him. He's talking about Michael Wood Jr. and Cindy Gomez, little internet rants, as they're too stupid to realize that the more you slander and libel me, the more you're going to lose of your precious money. They never heard the term, give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves. Hmm. And here he's talking about Chief Arvel Looking Horse. How Chief Arvel Looking Horse had Bill Running Fisher. Now this is the second confirmation. L'Oreal told me that Arvel Looking Horse and Faith Spotted Eagle authorized them to do the weapons sweeps and to remove American Horse from the camp.
Yep.
And he confirms it here. And he says, Chief Arvel Looking Horse had us remove American Horse and his Warrior Society as they were charging elders to stay at Ochetti. That's not what he told me. He said that they made a propane IED and that he blew off Sophia Walensky's arm and then he was attacking cops. This is very different. And he says, and brought in drugs and weapons. He never told me that either. Mm-mm. And Phyllis tried to undermine that. 4 times we fought off American Horse, even though we were outnumbered 10 to 1. And Phyllis was all over that. And then he says, Mike Woods and L'Oreal set Vaughn up, his cousin Vaughn, driving that ride that was reported stolen. And then the police seized everything he had, including gear I gave him. So some of the company gear ended up in the SUV that was reported stolen that Vaughn was arrested in. Are you guys following along here? And then he says, Deep Ones and my tribe was known for terrorizing the fierce Sioux nations. That is why Chief Arvel Looking Horse came to us to do what was necessary. First, I didn't want to, but when I found out he was receiving $50,000 from Dapple, I was more than happy to. He's talking about American Horse. And how he alleges that American Horse was paid $50,000 by Dapple. And then he goes on and says, the thing that bothers me the most is how many opportunistic charlatans there are who just raped our people and sought to keep us from uniting. And here he says, they're full of beep on the violence because that's all they did. Ask Vaughn. They surrounded his ride and tried to pull him out because he wouldn't support the drugs and pedophiles. These are all allegations, of course. I do know that there are allegations and proof I've seen in videos of a Vaughn video where people are stopping him because he's mm-hmm. trying to leave camp with stuff that's allegedly stolen.
Yeah.
And he tries to run people over. But anyway, everyone has their version of that story, I guess. And it says did you know that Christina Grizz held her hostage in Bismarck until Morton County came and arrested her? Who, Kathleen? No. Yes, Kathleen. It was Christine who took her into Bismarck. Next. Okay. Scroll down, please. It was Christine who took them into Bismarck. Next. I know she got a felony charge for kidnapping her own kids. He's talking about Mulaney here.
Yeah.
I know, this is Bill Running Fisher confirming what Sonny told us. I know she got a felony charge for kidnapping her own kids out of state custody before she got clean and sober. So Mulaney was at once not clean and sober.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's being told that, oh, Cindy's on with Kathleen Bennett right now. And Bill asks, how did that turn out for her? How did the whole thing turn out for Kathleen Bennett? How did that turn out for her anyways? They release and drop the charges?
Well.
What do you think of that? Bill Running Fisher asking, hey, did they drop the charges on Kathleen Bennett yet? Huh? How'd that work out? And next. He also says, remember that some of that $2.2 million Christina got. Now he's talking about Christina Hollenbach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got for Iron Eyes.
Yeah.
This is what she's talking about. Was from Energy Transfer Partners. Paid around December 16th, 2016. Okay. And he's talking about Christina again. Christina Hollenbach. He says she is one of the professional organizers of paid protesters. And he says, no, she is for other team. Soros is for liberals. She is funded by Koch brothers, hardcore Republican infiltrator. That's what he's saying Christina Hollenbeck is. Mm. Yes, it was one. It was one of the reasons Phyllis Young wanted us around in the beginning is that she thought we would do anything for money and be her personal hit squad. And he confirms again here, yes, Christina is 6'7" and pale as snow.
Hmm.
You forgot the pink hair, Billy.
Yeah, really.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, next I want to go to some texts between L'Oreal and Michael Wood Jr. in which you will see them talking about the vehicle situation that we're talking about right now. What are you talking about? Says Michael Wood. And L'Oreal says, Von Bolaj has the white Suburban and was just now arrested because it was reported stolen. It would have been in your name. And Michael says, fix it then. It's your moral responsibility, M. And she says, whose name was the rental under? Michael?
Yeah.
And Michael's like, ultimately mine. And then L'Oreal says, so I guess the moral thing for me to do is to pay for the rental fees from December 23rd until now. And then he says, I don't have any intention of making an issue of it. The group is talking, but I don't know. They're upset because it's about $3,500. And then she says, well, the vehicle is reported stolen, which means someone discontinued payment. And Von Lodge was driving it and is now sitting in jail on stolen property charges. Since he was at one point head of security at camp, this is going to blow up. Yeah. And then she says, I'm waiting on a call from Hertz manager to find out exactly what happened. Now, here is a copy of the record on Von Bolaj's arrest on January 18th when he was driving that Suburban with that equipment that Bill Running Fisher had in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for real, folks. Von got arrested. Now, here is an email from Bill Running Fisher to Michael Awood Jr. on February 1st. And he says, Michael, she, and he's talking about L'Oreal, she represented and you did dispute that she was the point of contact for you. I think he meant to say she represented you and you didn't dispute that she was your point of contact.
Exactly.
But he doesn't know how to write. And your group, for you and your group there, and she was the one in charge. Yeah, he told me that too. Up to recently when she gave the rental car that was rented in your name to your group to use to Von Bolaj, who was recently arrested with some of said gear in question due to your organization not paying for the rental to the tune of almost $4,000. I mean, is this a pattern or what? And then he says, my main goal is not to be adversarial, but to get paid for what we provided to veterans for Standing Rock. And it is mentioned in that KPPP report that you or someone from your organization sent them emails of those invoices that L'Oreal signed. As to suing, know that takes years. I'm filing criminal charges, the kind that they arrest you for. If you did approve of those emails being sent on your behalf, say it and let us know within your team, as it has caused us harm and put our lives in danger. That's the testimony we would like. So again, the easiest way to have handled this was to answer our calls or texts, but you did not. And here we are. And Michael Wood Jr. responds, L'Oreal did not speak for us, nor does not speak for us. Well, then how come you didn't tell people publicly, Sedef or Michael Wood Jr.? Why didn't you make it clear, especially as she continued to try to defraud people all the way through February?
Plus, those invoices were actually published on L'Oreal Blackshaw's wall on Facebook. And also on Twitter.
That's true.
I mean, no one emailed us those invoices. They were publicly available, you know, for a long time. Even when L'Oreal changed her Facebook page, and she's, you know, you saw the information earlier that she was deleting her page and starting a new one. She still had all that stuff up. She had a lot of the videos, and so it was easy to just download because that's where we got them from. She actually talked about them and posted them.
Yeah, Bill doesn't know where we got them. So yeah. And then I want to show you the email of J.D. Grubel. He sent J.D. Grubel, if you'll recall, is that captain, I believe he was called by Bill Running Fisher. Captain Grubel was listed in the shared information emails with Tiger Swan and all those law enforcement agencies, including Morton County.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the lead investigator in Kathleen Bennett's case, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
And so here is the email in which Bill Running Fisher, on February 16th, he talked to him on the 20th, but he emailed him on the 16th. I didn't see that anywhere in the discovery records.
Nope.
This is a second contact from Bill Running Fisher. And there's no mention of it in the discovery, in the police report. And you're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. but here's what he said to Captain Grubel on February 16th. I was going through some of our stuff related to Standing Rock and came upon some things that we had marked to pass on to local law enforcement. One of the main peoples responsible for organizing and funding the more radical protests and violent direct actions against your agency and others involved in securing pipelines. Her name is Christina Hollenbeck. She has two cell numbers associated with her. Also, we believe her title in the group is Nexus Coordinator. She is the one who makes contact with Hollywood donors and who has brought over Chase Iron Eyes and provided the $2.2 million to his group. What? So here it is. This he's sending this to the police officer, the officer, the captain in this case. Okay. Number two, Ramon Reyes. I'll tell you what his last name is. He says Ramon, unknown last name, aka Grizz, main leader of camp security, and one who planned nightly probes of the Dapple perimeter and led violent direct actions against your agency and others. He's accusing Grizzly.
Mm-hmm.
When he said he was there with Grizzly as one of the people that might have more information when he gave me his report. Remember he talked about Grizz?
Yeah.
He never mentioned that he was doing any bad things when he talked to me. He didn't tell me that Christina Hollenbeck was with this Nexus group and she was bringing in all this money and she's tied to the Koch brothers and she's a Republican infiltrator. I'm like, what? So you really think that Bill Running Fisher and Mulaney and all these people involved didn't know each other? Didn't know exactly what was going on? And then it says, he was the main one who sheltered and protected POS Frank Archambault and others, other assorted vermin just like him. Here's his cell. He's also connected to that Sioux Warrior Society American Horse, led by J.R. American Horse, who is the one who came up with the IED they attempted to use on your agency that led to it detonating on them instead and led to that young woman losing her arm. When Wes Clark Jr. was here in December, Ramon was showing him their work at Prairie Nights Casino. They had actually live ordnance
in a crowded casino.
What in the hell is he saying there?
He's saying they had a live bomb, basically, an ordnance inside the casino.
What?
Are you running around the hallway or something?
Mike, unknown last name, Rattler. Michael Marcus. Oh, yeah. God, you're such a horrible
hider of people.
Fake Marshall.
Yep.
He's a horrible fake Marshall.
Fake Marshall.
Horrible. Drives a 2014-16 Dodge Crew Cab gray in color, brought into camp five AR-16s, three AK variants, and one Beretta .50 caliber semi-automatic rifle with confirmed 50 rounds of black tip AP ammo for it.
Wow.
Detailed. Hope this helps.
Yeah. Hope this helps.
What do you think of that, dude?
Oh, my God. He's accusing Rattler of basically having all these weapons. You know, it's like, I haven't heard that. And, you know, the whole idea was that no one had weapons at camp when they were doing the sweeps for weapons. They never found any. Yet he's accusing AKA Rattler, of having these weapons. Remember, Bill Running Fisher is a liar, but he seems to be talking about stuff he knows about. So you have to kind of mix what you think he really knows and what he knows, but he's giving all sorts of details that we didn't have before and he never spoke to us about.
Okay. Now, you need to see the connections between L'Oreal and Bill Running Fisher and Bond. And I found all of them in this guy named James Armantrout.
Yeah.
Armand Trout posted some pictures of himself at camp, starting with this one on December 5th, where he is talking in this post. He is the man with the white hat on the far left. In between he and Bill Running Fisher is David Matthews, the singer from the David Matthews Band, the one and only. And it says, Billy Eaglebird.
Eaglebird.
Uh-huh. Told you guys, these people have lots of different names. Billy Eaglebird, an Army Ranger.
Oh, he's Army Ranger too.
What? A Ranger.
Oh, boy.
This guy isn't even a mall cop. And he's like running around telling people he's a U.S. Marshal. He's a Ranger.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to be a Ranger?
Yeah.
Like, bitch, please. No. You're not an Army Ranger. Okay. Now let's look at a close-up. Oh, go back real quick. I just wanted to see what else it said. It says, Billy Eaglebird, an Army Ranger, Cut's cousin, and I, with Dave Matthews at the casino. Okay, next. Here's a close-up of the picture. There's Billy Running Fisher. That's him.
Mm-hmm.
That is him. Why is he telling people his name is Eaglebird?
Yep.
Eagle Child.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle, all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's another picture from Mr. Armand Trout's timeline or post. Notice where it's posted from. He says he's in a medic tent, but where did he post this picture from on December 6th? Williston.
Ah.
That's where Mulaney lives.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget about that, folks. Sleeping in a medic tent tonight, a small one. We gave up ours to house 7 veterans, and this tent has thick frost on the ceiling, and when a good gust comes, it shakes loose flakes on me. Ha ha ha. It sure makes for a great story. Nobody ever said making history would be easy. Ha ha, stay classy.
Yeah.
Next, here's a picture of him on December 16th when he was about to do a live stream but could not. And here's a post that he did with it. James Armand Trout, December 16, tried going live, signaled too weak to do so. Got my boots off, drying my wet socks near a propane heater, chilling with old man Bob near the wood stove. Of both of us covered in blankets, stroking the fires and waiting on Billy Eaglebird to arrive from Montana with his wife.
Hmm.
Billy, Running Fisher, Eaglebird,
yeah.
Eagle Child, Fisher, from Montana.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Montana.
Yep.
Next, we have Armand Trout posting one of Von Bolaj's posts on December 17th. This is how everyone looks walking around camp, Lamau. And here's another one on December 17th. Folks, you remember what happened on December 17th?
Yep.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
That's when they took Mary Trujillo to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. That's when they kidnapped. That's when Mulaney and her daughter and Ramon Reyes, a.k.a. Grizzly, and Christina Hollenbeck of the Nexus Group kidnapped an elder and her mother,
mm-hmm.
forced them out of camp, took them by force. Bill Running Fisher assaulted Kathleen Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Under color of law, lied and said he was a U.S. Marshal. Threatened her, yanked her off of the ambulance. And Mulaney and Christine lied. They committed a crime trying mm-hmm. to stop a 911 call. So that they could take this elder woman and put her in a hospital and try to kill her. And that's what they did. That's what they tried to do. And so I paid very close attention to this corruption on December 17th post. Because I'm like, corruption is going on. Someone says, you think? And someone else says, put it out there and expose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who was doing the corruption? Who were the ones doing the corruption? Here is a video I want you to see. This is the screen capture. Notice it was posted by Mr. Armantrout on December 17th, the day of the corruption, the day of the kidnapping, the day that Mary Trujillo was taken to St. Alexius Hospital, and the day that L'Oreal Blackshaw signed off on over $131,000 worth of invoices to Billy Eagle Child, Eagle Bird, Running Fisher, and his company, Eagle Child Consulting and Enforcement Services. And now I want you to see who's in the video with James.
So yeah, here I am up at the Prairie Night Casino, just outside the camp, about 15 miles, dropping people off for R&R. It's cold out here, minus 19 right now. What's going on right now is a lot of people, there's different warehouses. One's down here at Fort Yates, another one's up in Bismarck, and it's housing a lot of donations from people all over the world to the camp. And so what's been happening, people have been asked to volunteer to go oversee this stuff as a few people, have been stealing this stuff and doing whatever with it, and stuff still walking out of the camp, people in there still, stealing stuff, generators and stuff from people, all kinds of stuff. Last week someone stole someone's ashes, his deceased wife's ashes. We required that back. And from there, now all these supplies around here are on lockdown now. And like they need medical supplies in these warehouses, and they're not getting there, obviously. So there's a few meetings going on tonight with the security, and then another part of another one for construction. One of these guys named Theron, he's paying out of pocket for materials to build the lodging for people, more secure lodging. And this money that's getting donated is not getting to where it needs to go. So that's what's going on right now. Hey, L'Oreal. Say hi, L'Oreal.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry, you're kind of putting on my lipstick.
There's Smalls in the background.
Hey, hello.
And there's Vivian.
Hey.
And so, that's what's going on. I'll try to update you some more after tonight. And
we're going to get handled.
Yes, we are.
So, we're off now. Back to driving. Later.
Laters.
We got to get shiz handled, she says. Laters. So, if you didn't think they were hanging out with each other, if they're not connected to each other, now you see, they were. They definitely were. Next, let's look at some more pictures of Mr. Armantrout. This one's from December 18th. He says, last night, sunset over Ochetti Camp. I do remember that Bill Running Fisher told me after the 6th that he went home for a while and didn't come back until right before he found her again on the 17th, supposedly. So, Mr. Armantrout says this was the last night he was at the camp. Next, December 17 post, he says, I am safe in northern Montana now. Take a break from the chaos. Looks like I'll be in a cabin out here alone for Christmas while Cuts heads to Chi-Town. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year if I don't hear from you or you hear from me. Stay classy. And here's the post from Montana. Hayes, Montana, to be exact. That's Billy Running Fisher country.
Oh, yeah.
That's where his business is supposedly at. And he says on December 23rd, this is the December 23rd when Mulaney got custody of Kathleen Bennett's mom, Mary Trujillo. And it was also my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first day that I heard from them.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in Hayes, Montana, hanging out with Billy or in Billy's neck of the woods. I can't imagine he left Ochetti and didn't go visit Billy right afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Since he and Billy had the Matthews, Dave Matthews experience.
Mm-hmm.
He was hanging out with Billy's wife, Ronell, too. And we're going to hear about her more in our next show because Billy alleges Ronell called the cops, too.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to check out Ronell. And he makes a lot of other allegations, which I would like to see if they're true or not. And he says here in the post on the 23rd, got back 30 minutes ago, dropped cuts off at the Billings Airport, got lost once on the way back and ran out of gas 1.5 times. $10 gets you about 91 miles. Thank you for Victoria in Lewistown's gas station at the 191 Junction and Vinny and Kat Cutts family. I got home all the while with a dead phone. Stay classy. And next, he posted, this is James Armantrout's page. He reposted Von Bolaj's breakfast. This is a Von post, but it was on James Armantrout's page. And it said, security till 5 a.m. This is on December 23rd. Security till 5 a.m. Then some sleep. Now I'm enjoying some comfort breakfast. Honey Greek yogurt, and granola with instant coffee grounds. Breakfast of champions, lol. They're removing the blockage from the bridge, so we'll see how the travel is going to turn out on Highway 1806. Next, there's a picture on Christmas Day. Remember, Christmas Day is the day that Mulaney, who was with her family, decided that Kathleen and Russell were not able to see Mary Trujillo, even though it wasn't just Christmas, it was Mary's birthday. She turned 82 by herself in a hospital without her family. And Mulaney didn't care about her, so she didn't go see her either. On that day, James Armantrout was wishing everyone a Merry Christmas from Hayes, Montana. And then here is a post of Von Bolaj with James Armantrout. And he posts on December 28th, laundry day, finally been a month. Eek, Trout and I sporting some fresh duds. Febreze was struggling to maintain its credibility. P.S. I was just called a white supremacist by a white guy in the laundromat. He was mean mugging. Lamau. And there's Von Bolaj and Mr. Armantrout. Next. Here is a January 9th post. James Armantrout shared Von Bolaj. Or no. He tagged him in this post on January 9th. And it says at the top, it's a video of a dog wearing windshield wiper glasses.
I see.
It's cute. But it says, could have you, oh, you, no, you moved it again. Could have used these in North Dakota, Von Bolaj. And then I wanted to share with you, are those all of them?
Yep, that's it.
That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We made it through all of them.
Yeah.
So let me tell you guys what I'm going to be bringing you in our next show. That's all I'm going to do for tonight to keep it like
concise.
As concise as possible so that all of that starts to just kind of like filter in and you have time to process it. I wanted to bring you some more financial information from Michael Wood Jr.'s banking stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I also wanted to show you more Bill Runningfisher's emails and texts, which I will be bringing you. I'm going to be also going back to the testimony of Kathleen Bennett.
Oh, yeah.
Because she has a lot of information about some of these people that I'm going to flash back on. I'm going to look back on these people. Because we need to revisit some of these folks. There was a lot of dirt on them. And we didn't get through even a small portion of it. We got through a fraction of it. Enough to show you who they were, what they were up to, and then we had to move on because there's a bunch of other people we had to get through. And that's what we've been doing. So I'm going to be bringing you more of all of that information on our next show. Please do not forget to enter the raffle. These necklaces are not only a beautiful, they're a reminder of how you can participate to protect water protectors who have been left behind, like Kathleen Bennett. Water protectors who nobody wanted to talk about, who nobody wanted to investigate their case. A water protector that is still stranded in North Dakota and still not able to be with her family. She still needs your help. And if you donate $10, every one of those entries for $10 will get you into the raffle for the next gold tone eagle feather necklace. They're super cool. They're beautiful. Thanks for donating all of those from Cheyenne Running Wolf.
Yep. And, you know, just go to our webpage at kpppfm.com/raffle. Mm-hmm. Has a little tab up there that says raffle. Click on it and you'll have a post you can click on. And this page comes up. It's a raffle entry for Kathleen Bennett's Defense Fund. Raffle number 5. It's a gold tone necklace. Basically, click on the link that says, click here to enter the raffle. You'll be brought to a PayPal page that you can make it your raffle purchase, which is $10. And please do that. Please do that. We're raising money directly. 100% of the money is going to go to Kathleen Bennett's Defense Fund.
Yes, it is. And it does not hurt if you take a picture of yourself with your necklace and send it to me. Or post it and tag us.
And Free Kathleen Bennett.
Share it with the hashtag Free Kathleen Bennett. Let everybody see your pride and make them jelly. Make them enter so that they can have a chance at one of these. It's fun. Also, it's beautiful. It's a great reminder of what people really wanted to do, which is protect vulnerable people like Kathleen Bennett and her mom and help them. And that's what we're doing here at 88.1 FM KPPP LP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Thank you for listening to this show, Flashbacks, here on 88.1 FM. Minnie Wiccioni, Water is Life.